If you have your Bibles, open them up to, let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. We've been trying to cover the subject of being transformed into the image of Christ and how important that is. And just as soon as I get here to Luke... Luke chapter 11. And some of the things that really kind of break your heart is to really find, especially ministers of the gospel or even believers, fall to the temptation of sin. And I'm not just talking about sins of the flesh, but also sins of their character, their nature, sins of the mind, sins of the mouth. And a lot of that really grieves you after a while, especially those who've been in church for a long time. And they don't seem to gain any real ground that they should over their natural being. And you see some of them start out on a real good track with God, and then all of a sudden they end up overnight losing everything. And it just grieves your heart. And it grieves your heart also to how other believers react to a comrade that actually takes a nosedive, so to speak, and not knowing how to help recover them or restore them. And so by understanding how to be changed into His image is really the strength that believers need to grow. It's amazing how many come into the kingdom of God and they think that by being saved that's good enough, and they'll wait until God comes back for the church or they die and go to heaven. And they don't cover anything in between concerning growth. And, you know, this ministry is committed to not only seeing to it that people come into the kingdom of God, but to grow into the kingdom of God and to mature. And that's really what God's heart is all about, is to not only bring you into the kingdom of God, but to bring you into a place of maturity. And so you can stand on your own two feet and be a success in life. And so this ministry is dedicated to doing its best it can do to give you the information you need and understand it so that you can stand on your own without pastors. Being there, you can stand on your own because we can't be with you all the time. Are you following what I'm saying? And yet you've seen people even go to word churches like ours and never really apply themselves to the knowledge of God's word to grow by. They continue living the same life that they've always lived and not succeed in a lot of things that they would desire to succeed in. And so we're committed to seeing that you take ground and hold your ground and then take more ground. And I'm not talking about just natural things, but I'm talking about the ground that God has given you to declare that you would be victorious, because that ground belongs to you. Just like Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ, was leading the children of Israel out of the promised land, He was taking them to what? To a land that was flowing with milk and honey. And He wanted them to have that place. And He wanted them to trust Him on their journey to it in order to fulfill it and take complete possession of all that land has to offer. And yet they murmured and complained, and they griped and moaned and groaned and didn't really enjoy the journey. And God wants us to enjoy our journey. He doesn't want us to just barely hang on and get by so that when we get to go to heaven, it'll be worth it all. No, do you know we're living in the time frame, the time period that God wants us to reach the lost, the dying. He wants us to reach the lost and dying in our vocations, where we live and where we're at. He wants us to affect people's lives. And the only way you can do that is for the kingdom of God to affect your life. If it doesn't affect your life, it won't affect other lives. Amen? He saves businessmen to save businessmen. He saves doctors to save doctors. He saves nurses to save nurses. Are you following what I'm saying? He wants us to reach every avenue that we possibly can during this time period, because there's going to come a time when it's not going to be such a great way of living, because you have to make a choice that will cost you your life. Nowadays, it's important, but it's not going to be like that last 7 year period. Boy, my heart goes out the more I'm beginning to understand and realizing that last 7 year period, how horrible it's going to be. And I'm thoroughly convinced that it was not designed for a believer, New Testament. Praise God. And so, I'm going to try my best to continue to give you the information that you need to help you stand on your own two feet, so that when you're put into a position of extreme importance, whether it's on your job or whether it's in the church or no matter where you go in life, you'll succeed. Just like Gina, my heart was so blessed to be able to send her off, because there's a foundation that's built within her, a solid one. And of course, the organization she's connected up with is a good organization, and it will teach her the experience that they've had going overseas and evangelizing, things like that. So I think Gina will pick it up real well and succeed, especially after all of us prayed for her. Praise God. But I'm excited about the kingdom of God in these last days and what we're called to do. But praise God, it's going to require us to develop a love for God to get that to succeed. And the love of God is very important, very important. It's important for the lost especially. Now, a lot of things happened, but thank God He gave us the Holy Spirit. Now I want to say some things today that might not be what we're accustomed to in theology. But when the Holy Spirit came into this world, He came in such a way that He would enter the heart of man and begin to mentor and teach man. But one thing is not clearly defined about the Holy Spirit, because I was listening to a couple of believers talking, and they were in extreme error about the Holy Spirit. They were coming from the avenue that the Holy Spirit makes you do things, and He will knock you in the head if you get off course. And they were talking like the Holy Spirit does everything. And yet, I could tell from the conversation of both of them, as much as the Holy Spirit is controlling them, they are out of control. And that bothered me a little bit. But, you know, I got to thinking about what they were saying. And the thing that I'm beginning to see is people have a misconception about how the Holy Spirit works in their heart. And I'm just going to say this blatantly. There's this teaching going about the sovereignty of God, and this world is in His control, and everything that's happening is because God ordained it to happen. People, that's a cop-out. That's a lie. Because the God of this world is not God Himself. It is the devil. He is the God of this world. And He's running the show here on planet Earth through men who are fallen in nature. They don't know the kingdom of God. And then He's also working or operating through ignorant believers that are vulnerable to Him and pray to Him, and they don't realize that. And in studying the concept of the last 7 year period of tribulation, the thing that I begin to notice, two things are really at fault. One is that the people who are trying to interpret that book do not have the understanding of their adversary, the real understanding of Satan. And the second thing that they don't really understand is the present-day ministry of Jesus. If you don't understand those two things, then you'll not understand the book of Revelations very well, because it can be very confusing. And another thing that you have to understand in order to interpret the kingdom of God within your heart? You might well make a note of this. To understand the Bible, to understand the Word of God, you have to understand the nature of God. What motivates God? What moves God? Well, how God communicates, how God gives, how God imparts. And I'm going to tell you how He does it. Are you ready? Through His nature. His nature is love. It's called divine love. And it's not human love. Human love and divine love are two different things. And yet the church today does not know how to separate them. They don't understand the God, divine kind of love versus human love. They mix human love in with God, and that is very confusing for humanity. They don't know who to believe, or where to go, or what to say, or what to do, until they understand divine love versus human love. Now, God created both. He created human love, and He created divine love. Now, how He created both is He gave man complete through spirit, soul, and body. We always quote that out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. I pray the whole man be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord, spirit, soul, and body. And actually, we just take that scripture to prove that a man is a tripart being. But really, behind that scripture, what he's saying is he wants the understanding of the spirit, soul, and body to be preserved for the glorification of what is to come concerning their outward man. God wants man complete, spirit, soul, and body. You following me? And right now, the body that we're now in is not a good one to be in unless you really understand what God has done for you by you accepting Jesus as your Savior during our time period, not during the time period of the Old Testament, not during that last 7-year period, because those two are linked together. But I'm talking about the time period that we're now living in. We are living in a wonderful time period because we have the Holy Spirit given to man to reside on the inside of us. Now, I'm going to say something here. The Holy Spirit has to have permission. The Holy Spirit has to have permission from your outer man to illuminate your inner being. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you that your outer man, your natural mind, and your physical body is in control of your walk here on planet Earth. And the only way that you can be changed and transformed into His image, then once that takes place, then you can take control of your natural life because you're permitting God to enter into your heart and change it in such a way that your outer man conforms to it. But as long as your outer man is in charge of your walk and not God, I got news for you. I don't care how many of you are saved. That is God's business. That is God's job. It is not according to how much knowledge you gain. It's not according to how much good works you do. It's not according to anything except God wants you to be saved because you received Him. Period, over and out. But it's up to you concerning your walk from the time you get saved until the time you're in His presence. Period, over and out. And it's all according to how do you want to walk between now and the time you're in His presence. It's up to you. It's up to you what kind of an entrance you want to give to the kingdom of God. Paul said, I desire that every one of you desire an abundant entrance. In other words, you desire to grow. You desire to ask of Him. You desire to seek Him. You desire to do everything you can to please Him because you want to draw as many as you can into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So for one purpose and one purpose only, because what God has got prepared for man is great. It is beyond your imagination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm going to just be quite frank with you. I've been studying the mind and how it functions and the spirit for 40 some years. I've heard it from the best, both sides. I've seen them fall into a ditch, and I've seen them fall into the ditch of the other side. And I never seen a good solidness to the understanding of the soul of man. Now I have that understanding. Now I have that understanding. And it's, and the deeper you get with understanding God, and the more thorough you get in understanding how our mind works, thank God we're not saved by knowledge. Because I'm going to tell you something, to understand how a man thinks and how his mind functions and how the Spirit of God works in your heart, I'm going to tell you something, you have to really desire a depth to God you normally would not desire. You have to learn to desire that. And a lot of Christians are babies because that's where their desire is. Now, how would you like to bring a child into the world? And then once the child comes out of the womb and you look at your little baby and say, thank God that you were born in a Christian home. Now I just can't wait for you to grow up on your own. Ploop. Well, that's the way some believers are. They come into the kingdom of God, they get saved, and they have no desire to grow because it's worth it all when we get to heaven. That's like saying you brought this baby into the world, don't feed it. Don't help it grow up. Just throw it on the ground and say, survive, baby. That is not what God intended for us to do. He intended for us to move into the position that God has put us in over the powers of darkness so that we can rule and reign with Him in this time period, in this planet Earth now, through kings and what? Priests that we're called to be. We're not called to barely get along until it's worth it all when we get there. We're called to take an abundant interest with it. Get as many people saved as possible. We're called to do that. And you don't have to have a big ministry call on your head to do that. But it requires a responsibility on your part to go after God for it. And the reason a lot of believers are not there is because they're just really not all that interested in the kingdom of God now that they're saved. And I heard one person say, well, yeah, I'm saved, but I decided it ain't worth going to church. What does it do for me? It don't really do anything for me. I can sit home and read my Bible and I'll just plug into a good program on TV. I'll watch Jimmy Swaggart and all his music and everything. And that's all I need. Well, a mind like that is, now that I came out of the womb, I can stay a baby. Because mature people don't think like that. Mature people, if you have any salt worth it, mature people press in to grow. They press in to grow and change into the image of Christ. You know, I taught myself how to control myself. Not when I'm at church, but when I'm at home. Yeah. Now that doesn't mean that I don't have flesh. My wife can testify to that. But it means that there's a part of me that God can count on. Because He reached a part of me that I don't have to worry about that area no more. Because He dealt with me in it and I got rid of it. So I can be at home a godly man just like I can be at church. Why? Because of my calling? Nah. Because of my desire. My desire to please Him. My desire to love Him. But the only thing is, if you desire to love Him, you'll end up loving somebody else too. You get out of your self-centered area and you get back into, why are you here? What is your purpose? What are you doing? Oh man, all you have to do is open your Bible up and it reflects back the love of God for mankind. Not just yourself, but also to your neighbor, your loved ones, your family, your children. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Holy Spirit has to have permission from your outer man to illuminate your inner being. Matter of fact, you'll find that in John chapter 16. But before we go there, let's look at Luke here, chapter 11, where I had you turn. And let's go to verse 14. And he was casting out a demon, and it was mute. So it was, when the demons had gone out, that the mute spoke, and the multitudes marveled. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. And others testing him sought him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls. If Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come to you. Now, notice what he is saying. Jesus is pointing out a double standard to those accusing him. If your sons did it, and it was God, then it too must be of God, what I'm doing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And I want to make this very clear. There's something that's said here. It said, if a house is divided, if a house is divided against itself, if a house is divided against itself, the house that he's referring to there is a human being. He's talking about a human being. And he's saying, Satan has enough brains to know that he ain't going to go ahead and cast himself out because he would be doing his own demise. But he says, the issue is if a house is divided against itself. And I'm going to tell you something. There's also a saying that when a man's delivered of demonic powers, he goes through dry places seeking to find rest in another body. But when he comes back and finds that this guy has been swept and clean and hasn't done anything with himself, he enters in and brings in seven more, and he's in a worse state than he was before. Right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The house that he's referring to here, Jesus is referring to, is yours and my house. And I'm going to tell you something. If the man in charge of that house, if he's in charge of the house, he'll take care of his house. He'll see to it his goods are not taken. It says if he arms himself and he's ready when the adversary comes, he can't do anything to divide him from his house. John 16:13, turn there. I'm going to say some things today that you need to think about. You need to meditate on them. Or they'll go ping. I'm going to give you some information today that if you get a hold of it, it'll help you tremendously to begin a growth in your life you've never known before. I'm going to tell you something. If you're interested in just one snack a week, it won't work. In John chapter 16, look at verse 13. I made the statement the Holy Spirit has to have permission from your outer man to illuminate your inner being. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. I want you to get that. He will not speak on his own authority. Now, the Greek words are just a little different, but it comes up to the same meaning. He will not initiate on his own authority. He has to initiate on the basis of your outer man's authority. not your inner man, your outer man's authority. If it was up to your inner man, this message would be a mute subject right now. Why? Because we'd be way beyond ourselves where we're at now. Is it making sense what I'm sharing with you? It must make sense or this place would be packed. A lot of Christians do not think that it's that necessary to go into that kind of depths with God. When you have that kind of mindset, you won't go very far with God. Now, he says here, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. This is why the Jews did not like Jesus, because they thought the Holy Spirit had been here since Genesis 1. And they even quoted it to Jesus one time. And they didn't understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit coming into the hearts of people, which is unique for our dispensation. It wasn't unique for any other generation, but our dispensation. And he says, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. And this word guide is a very interesting word. It is referring to someone who will take you into uncharted territory that you're not aware of, but he is. He will take you into an area that has been uncharted by your natural mind, the area you've never journeyed before. But the Holy Spirit will take you to that uncharted territory and begin to show you things in that territory. That's what that word guide means. One who will guide you into uncharted territory. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Do you know who initiates the Holy Spirit to guide you into that uncharted territory? It is you. You're the one that has to go to God and say, God, I want you to show me visions and revelations and give me insight of your heavenly kingdom. Give me where I belong right now. Give me the understanding of what I am in you. Give me an understanding, my joint heirship with my son Jesus in heavenly places. Show me these things. And what do? You say to the Holy Spirit, take me there. But until you say, take me there, he won't take you nowhere. That's true, folks. That's true. If you're going to sit around and wait for the Holy Spirit to do something with you, you're going to die waiting for the Holy Ghost. And he's on the inside of you? You know, I wondered why the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that extra baptism. You know why God gave it? Did you know the church didn't start until the day of Pentecost? Why? Because the Holy Spirit had to manifest himself supernaturally to give natural man heads up that he has come into the heart of man who had received Jesus. Why? Because that way you know that you've given him permission to enter in. Because when a man gets born again, he doesn't have an understanding of how the Holy Spirit enters his heart and creates a circumcision within him. Are you following me? And causes him to be born again, because he can only act on one thing that you've asked. I receive Jesus as my Savior. That gives the Holy Spirit's ability to do his work in your heart, and God will permit him to do that. He don't need permission from your outer man. True. All as your outer man has to do is say, I want Jesus. Your outer man says that, not your inner man.
Right.
It is your outer man that says that. And as you say, I receive Jesus as my Savior, then the Holy Spirit will come in and circumcise, cut you away from your outer man, so that you have now spiritual identity. And it's called a new creature in Christ. You know what that word means? New creature? It means back to the original formation. What do you mean, the original formation? I looked the meaning up of that, and here's what it is. When you got saved, born again, the Holy Spirit entered your heart, sight unseen by the natural man. He was able to do that because you asked to receive Jesus as your Savior. He came in and he joined himself to your inner man and made a distinction between your outer man and your inner man. You know you're saved. You don't know how, but you know that you're saved. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is where Jesus has, the kingdom of God has to reveal to you. That is a separate act because it is now up to you whether you want the Holy Spirit to totally take you into the depths of God. And that's where it comes through that tongue, speaking in tongues. That's why the enemy hates that tongue. Because he knows once you get into your prayer closet, he cannot go into the arena of your prayer closet. That is out of his jurisdiction. He knows that you're in the presence of God. And he cannot go around you because there's no tongue he doesn't understand. He has the tongue of angels. He knows everything. And God said, I'll tell you what about your prayer closet. When you go into your prayer closet, Satan can't go in there. He can't figure out what you're even doing until you come out of your prayer closet. And when you come out of your prayer closet all lit up, he knows only one thing. Stay away from that one. Stay away from that person. Don't go around that person. But if you come out of your prayer closet and say, oh me, oh my, and that gives him heads up right away. He don't know what you conversationed with God is, but it wasn't as productive as it should have been. He said, we can still take that idiot out. I'm telling you facts, people, that are real. And so Satan's number one thing is to divide your house. Get one part of you for him and one part for God. He wants that mixture. That goes right back to the garden. Stay away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Stay away from that tree. And they partook of the fruit of it. And what happened? Man divided himself. How? He partook of that fruit. I don't know how he did it. But I know he ate of it because the Bible says he did. What happens? What happens when he did that? Well, something happened with Adam and Eve. It said, when they ate of that fruit, their eyes were open. I went and studied that in the Hebrew. I've studied it for years. And I finally dawned on me what happened. Their sensual mind, you only have one soul, but you have two minds within that soul. Now, people just use the term soul, and they forget the soul houses the mind. The mind of the flesh and the mind of the spirit. It houses them both. And your soul does not have material. It's encased into a physical brain. Your spirit man is encased in your body. And when you die, your body falls to the ground with your natural brain and you step out of it and your soul is very much intact to your spiritual body. But you still have these two minds. They still have these two minds in your soul working. So when Adam and Eve partook of that, it says their eyes were open. And the word there actually is the Greek word da'ath, which literally refers to an inferior knowledge entered into the sensual mind. An inferior knowledge called da'ath. An inferior knowledge. And that's when they became spiritually what? Penetrated. He gave his spiritual authority up to Satan and didn't even know it. Now, some teachers come along and said they died spiritually. Instantly. They did not. They still communicated with God even after the fall. God came to them immediately. Somebody said, well, God came down to fellowship one day and oh, where are you, Adam and Eve? That wasn't the case. He disconnected from heaven and immediately drew God to the garden and said, Adam, why are you where you're at? Right. But before the fall, they were naked and didn't know it. After the fall, they were ashamed and covered it. Right. And the first thing he says, when I heard you in the garden, I feared. How did he hear him? Well, the Bible says when he breathed into him nostrils, the breath of lives, it's plural, two lives. Two lives. The life of the natural body and the life of the spirit. And man became a living soul. Actually, in the Hebrew, it says man became a speaking spirit. Now, before the fall, the Bible says Adam was complete in his soul. He was meant to live forever. He was complete in his soul. There was no part of him not God. He was God. Even when Eve was born, she was also called God in a sense that she was conceived from God. Because in your Genesis, I think it's a chapter 4, it says, and God called them both Adam. Well, the Hebrews couldn't figure out why he would call them both father's blood. Because Adam, they put Ah and Dam together and called them the father. But actually, it's Adam. They are both God's blood. Adam and Eve were both called God's blood. And so what happened after the fall, their soul became separated because it entered the knowledge of the senses. And then we've seen that in Cain and Abel after they were born. God still had communication with Adam and Eve. He covered them and said, now I'm going to promise a redeemer that's going to come and redeem you guys. Are you following me? But Adam and Eve still had to incur physical deaths. And God told them that. Now you're going to die, Adam. Adam didn't want to die. But he says, now you're going to die because eventually your soul will lose its power to sustain you. That's why they live for such a long time. People always ask me, why did they live for such a long time? Well, the reason it is because mankind had to learn how to die. Because all they could do is know how to live. Why? Because they had the mind of the spirit in control. And then over a period of time, the road of time, that spiritual mind began to lose its identity a little at a time until they got reversed. Where the natural mind then began to have a voice that was louder than their spiritual mind. And we find that in Genesis chapter 6 when God came down and said, man has now become one with his flesh. I can no longer strive with him, no longer regulate him, no longer communicate with him because they lost their spiritual identity to me. Right. All except for one man, Noah. He stayed true. He was communicating with God spiritually. Enoch was another one. Matter of fact, the fallen angels came to Enoch and said, hey, go to God and try to redeem us. And Enoch went to God and God said, no, man's not called to redeem them. They're done. They're finished. Don't even bring that issue up again. So what happened? Here's what happened. Before man's fall, his spiritual identity, his spiritual mind, had the voice. It was in control. It was in control of everything that God had made. After the fall, what happened? This happened? No, this happened. They were separated. And once that took place, eventually this happened. The spiritual mind began to lose its access of control. And as a result, things began to die. Because not only did it enter them, but it entered all of creation and everything in this world. It is in a fallen state. Now, what God had promised Adam and Eve was a redeemer would come and bring mankind back to its original formation. What original formation? Where he would then again regain spiritual identity to take over, where mankind left off at the fall and then began to rule over his outer man. Why? By what? By getting into the Word of God and letting the Word of God get on the inside of him so that he could develop him spiritually. And with every spiritual development, he could eventually get to a place where he can dominate his outer man and quit his nauseous things before God. Hey, I'm preaching real good stuff for you. You ain't going to find it in Sunday school.
Not in seminary neither.
Seminary belongs to Seminole. Now I'm going to tell you something. We are so vulnerable to hear that voice all the time. We don't realize that there is a voice on the inside of you called Spirit. But it takes time for you to grow to know that voice. Now, it said a house that's divided can't stand. I'm going to tell you something. How many of you know what Amos 3:3 says? Amos 3:3. How many of you ever heard of Amos 3:3? Those who are always into this renewing of the wine knows this verse, but they don't know it. Amos 3:3 says this: how can two walk together unless they are agreed? How can they walk together unless they are agreed? You know what, a Christian who's in a backslid state, you know why they're miserable? Because they got one voice coming from one avenue and another voice coming from another. And when you're in between those two voices, it can be frustrating. You can be unhappy. You can be frustrated. You can be discouraged. You can lose vision. You can lose hope. You don't know whether you're up or down or which way you're going. But when you connect up with God, God gives you purpose. He gives you direction. He removes fear from you. He removes confusion from you. You stay on course. Now, how can two walk together unless they are agreed? You know, I thought it was very interesting when you get into Old Testament words and you look up some of the meanings in the Strong's Concordance. In your Strong's, it amazes me that many words that you look up, even the people who established the Strong's Concordance, don't know why some words are worded the way they are. So all they can do is give you the information, but they don't know why it makes no sense to them. One of them, they argued about, well, we don't really understand it, but it came off of a root word somewhere. Usually your Strong's Concordance will give you the root word it came off. That means a word that came off of that word to end up to this word. But this word here, agreed, was very confusing to the Old Testament mind. The word agreed, it said, it seems like it's referring to an olive tree that yields illumination. That yields illumination. We don't know what root word this one came off of. We have no idea. But the closest we can come is another word called brightness. You know why they were confused? Because they didn't understand the heart that was behind that verse. Actually, it says, how can two walk together unless both of them are illuminated? Both of them are lit up. Did you know that every time you get a revelation, your outward mind, your natural mind, is demoted? And the darkness in the demoting is removed. But we're taught today that it's the natural mind that's removed. No, it's not. It has to be purged. You have to take that natural mind and submit it to humility, which is a powerful teaching. Humility. You have to learn how to let your outer mind be humble to receive what God says. That's why a lot of believers can't trust Him in His Word for healing. Yeah, we know what God says about healing, but they'll turn to natural means more than really turn to the Word of God in spite of the natural means. God's not opposed to somebody turn to something natural, but He wants you to stick to Him. He wants to work it out in your life. How can two walk together unless they are illuminated? They both have the light affect them. It said the God of this world blinds the minds of them lest they see the light of the glorious gospel. The more light you see, the less your outer man and that devil has over you. And then we sit and we criticize because somebody took a nosedive. Well, why capitalize on what he did? Go after him and say, hey, I know what you did. You quit praying. You quit stirring up the Holy Ghost in you. Are you filled with the Spirit? Well, no, I don't believe in speaking. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, come on, I know your natural mind is going to come against it, but get filled with the Holy Ghost and you'll feel a change, man. Start praying in tongues and God will get to working in you again and the Holy Spirit will assist you. He'll grab a hold of a part of you that you cannot handle yourself, and he will carry that weight with you. He won't do it all. You have to be willing to let him carry it with you. Some Christians never change in their character, their personalities. Did you know that if you come into the kingdom of God and get saved and give your heart to the Lord, even you get baptized in the Holy Ghost and with speaking in tongue, if you back off and quit praying and quit speaking in that tongue and you get away from the Word of God, did you know that you'll digress back to the state you were in before you got saved? Romans 8 talks about it. You're about to die. That's why Paul says, I have learned something about myself. He says, I have learned to deal my outer man a blow every time he wants to rule. Matter of fact, in the Greek it says, I beat him black and blue. He gave the picture that this guy is going to suffer the consequences if he don't line up with God. Because he wants to bring more men into the kingdom of God. He wanted his life to so shine in such a way that he would win them to the Lord. Oh, you're all real happy here today. Well, I'll tell you, people, it's time the church stops catering to the outer man. It's time the church starts reaching inwardly to their inner man. I'm going to tell you, science itself has discovered that the soul has a sub-mind. That's why they call it the subconscious. I was talking to one guy about how he overcame addictions, and he shared some things about this medical center you can go to, and they go through a hypnosis and they program your inner man in that area. You have to sign paperwork and everything that they don't program anything else into you, but in that area alone. And they can eliminate an addiction by taking that inner mind and ruling it over that outer addicted mind. People, the Word of God tells you you can do that without going into some hypnosis, which you have no business doing, because that opens your natural mind to bring whatever it can through into that sub-mind. Somebody says, well, what about when you go to bed at night? Why do you think on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up and said, this is that which Joel spoke about. He said this. He said that in this day, this period of the Pentecost, he said, what Joel spoke about, he said, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Why did he quote Joel? Because once you are born again, you now have a distinct spiritual separation, your inner man from your outer man, and God communicates through your spirit. He don't communicate through your natural brain. He communicates through your spirit. And it means when you're at sleep at night, you got your natural mind in the soul and your spiritual mind in the soul. And God goes to the spiritual mind and gives you a dream or a vision. He can do it now because he has now got people born again back to the original formation. And you know what? I looked up that word formation, and it is the word foundation. It literally means when you get born again, you're back to the original foundation, which is your spirit. Now has a way to communicate with your heavenly Father. Quit running around with your body all the time. I'm going to tell you, that natural mind, it can get to the point where it will convince you. It will convince you that God doesn't even care for you. Did you know that? That's a dangerous place to get. Because God says, I will love you. I have sealed you with my love. No one can break that seal but me. And you are assured that you can go to heaven. But in the meantime, what the devil wants you to do is run around in the basement. He wants you to be has-been luggage. And we don't have to be that way. We don't have to be that way. Mankind can make you think that way even after you get saved and filled with the Spirit. You can't walk according to what men think about you. You got to walk according to what God thinks about you. God's love for you. He loves you. People, until you understand the divine love of God, you're missing out on the best that God has to offer. I was reading this book, Imagine Heaven, and every story in it, they all gave the testimony that when you get to heaven, there is so much love that permeates you. It's as if you're the only person in the universe that God cares about. That's the love of God. And Satan don't want you to touch that love. Because that love will drive you to bring others into the kingdom of God. How can two walk together except they be illuminated? No wonder they couldn't understand that. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. Jump from spirit to body. Why? Because this world, this physical world, this is what this guy digests. Digests everything from this realm. And it says the rooms of the belly, meaning whatever you digest, your body will be affected by it. Because it'll go right to that part of your body that maybe you shouldn't be taking that in. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to that. Maybe you shouldn't be speaking that. Maybe you shouldn't be believing that. Why? Well, you need somebody in there to help you. No, the Holy Spirit's willing to do it. Are you willing to listen to me? Holy Spirit, I want you to be willing to help me. Okay. In comes this voice. You're no good. Holy Spirit, you're seated in heavenly places. I'm seated in heavenly places. Kind of like this. Holy Spirit. Good. Bad one. Oh, shoo. Really good. Because He will help you. What to digest and what not to digest. That's why He went from the spirit. He'll light your spirit up, but He'll do something for your body as well. Your body will benefit by it. Why? It won't be taking in what's bad for it. I'm getting so free from my natural way of thinking that I can sit and carry on a conversation with somebody. I can tell right away where they're at spiritually. Just by the conversation I hold with them. Do I say anything to them? No, I don't. Do I say something to them if it's good? Yes, I do. But if what comes out of their mouth is nothing but garbage, I don't say anything. I shut up. Matter of fact, some of them know me so well, you're awful quiet about what I just said. Dad Hagen, he was that way. If you carried on a conversation with him, he'd always listen to you. And you knew you stroke home if he talked back. But if he turned around and walked away, whatever you were saying to him, forget it. I asked him one time, I said, Dad, Why didn't you answer him back?
He said, well, if the mind carries that kind of information, no use talking back to it. He had a way of words. Well, yeah, that makes sense. If the mind harbors that kind of information, no use talking to it. Your soul is a very unique thing. When God breathed into Adam the breath of life, that was your natural life with your spiritual life. And after the fall, one got lost. And that was the spiritual mind. People, we're in the kind of knowledge now that will help us grow spiritually if we're willing to receive the information. If we're willing to receive it. It's going to be hard on flesh. A walk with God is not easy on your flesh. Because the further you go into God, the further your flesh is out of the picture. When he talked about if we suffer with Christ, he wasn't talking about on the cross. He was talking about the denial of the natural man. And we have doctrine now that teaches you how to clothe him. We don't have doctrines that go around. You've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, reckon your body as good as dead. Well, when you're trying to put a tux on him, why would you want him in the grave? Wouldn't that be weird if I pulled a guy up out of the grave and started dressing him in a tux from the doctrines they're preaching today? What are you doing? Well, I'm dressing him up. Why are you dressing him up? Well, success in this life, brother. What, are you going to stand that guy up? He looks like a dead man. And you stand him up with the tux on, he'll fall right back to the ground. You can take a guy off the street and put a tux on him, and you leave him alone long enough, he'll go right back to the street. And he'll ruin the clothes. Well, I hope you got something here today. Now, if you want to write this down, in closing, write this down, because this is important. Satan's number one goal at the fall, with Adam and Eve, was to join man's spirit to his flesh, separating man spiritually from God, making him one with his flesh. Genesis 6, verse 3, 12, and 13. This is where man loses his spiritual identity. This is what we call spiritual death, when a man's spirit is separated from God. But the Lord's goal was now to separate man's spirit from his flesh so he could again communicate with God through his spirit. Did you get that? You need to write that down. Satan's goal was to join man's spirit to his flesh, separating man spiritually from God. The Lord's goal is now to separate man's spirit from his flesh so he could again communicate with him through his spirit. Did you get that? Okay, I'll say it one more time. I want you to write it down. This is important. Satan's goal, number one goal, was to join man's spirit to his flesh. He wanted man to lose spiritual identity, separating man spiritually from God, making him one with his flesh. Genesis 6, 3, 12, and 13. Man loses his spiritual identity. The Lord's goal was now to separate man's spirit from his flesh, to reverse the process, so he again could again communicate with him through his spirit. That's why Satan hates tongues. Because tongues is a language of the born-again spirit. That is the indication that you are communicating with God apart from your natural mind. And there is no such teaching that the tongues were ever done away with. Nowhere in the Word of God. New Testament. Nowhere in the New Testament. And it's unique to our dispensation. Nobody spoke in tongues in the Old Testament. Why? Because no one was born again. See, man goes back to the Old Testament way of being saved through death. No one's born again during that last 7 year period. The only way that they get saved is to recognize Jesus, whom they see with their physical eye in the heavens, and then they give their heart and life to Him because He exposed Satan to them. It's all physical, all through the natural mind. And people, that's why that book is so confusing to a lot of people. They don't understand the operation of that judgment. But our time period, our time frame right now is spiritual life. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God without being born again. You have to be born again. And God told me many believers are Gnostics rather than actually having received the new birth. They were saved through their intellect and they think they're born again and they're not. That's why a lot of them, especially real legalistic people, when I talk to them, they're so judgmental, so hard, so condemning. No life there. And God spoke to me and said, well, they're Gnostics. The same thing John, the Apostle John's and them had to deal with back in their time period, Paul and all of them. Gnosticism mean it's all here. People, it's spirit. It's not head, it's spirit. So there are people claiming they're Christians and they're not because they don't bear the fruit. The fruit comes with the territory. When you get born again, you become fruity. Amen? Hallelujah. Father, I thank You that we can bear much fruit because we're born again. Hallelujah. We've left the body of flesh and now we can bear fruit to our kingdom of our God through our spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You for that, Father. Thank You. And everybody stand up. We're going to... Oh. No, everybody stay seated. Stay seated. Ushers, come forward and get the communion trays. This is an important part of the service, especially after my message. Hallelujah. We don't have any groups tonight, do we? Okay. Now, when they give you the tray, pass it on first to the next person, and then take yours. John Shearer, you just violated my instructions. There you go. Pass it on to him first. And he's my administrator. You better take communion on that one. Okay. I hope this helped you today. I know it. I'm preaching schizophrenia, but it's a good one. You know, a lot of destruction is coming through demonic powers today. It gets into the mind of men. And sinners, they get possessed by a devil. And then they get the testimony that they heard voices that made them do that. How many of you heard that in the news? Well, that's what it is. It's a demonic spirit that of destruction that gets on the inside of them and communicates with them to do. And yet the police and nobody else knows what's causing these people to tick. But they don't see the reality of demonic powers floating around this world, you know. Thank God they were dethroned over the believer. Amen. Praise God. But I don't want to leave my mind open to the devil. I'm telling you that. I don't want to do it. Over there in Peter, as 1st or 2nd Peter, where it says the devil goes about as a roaring lion. And notice it says, seeking whom he may devour. And he's speaking there to believers. He's not speaking to unbelievers. He can devour an unbeliever at will. What he's referring to is he's going about seeking for a believer that is devourable. See, people don't get that. And it says, therefore cast your cares upon him, for he cares. Don't be vulnerable to him. Don't let him take your place. And he always comes with a thought. He'll throw a thought in you. I don't care how far up on the pole you get, he'll throw a thought in you. And he hopes you make a stronghold out of it. If you know what I'm talking about. Any of you ever had a thought thrown at you you didn't like, that you knew was not a God? And that sucker can grow. That sucker can get so huge. I finally decided one day, I don't think God likes smoking. Yeah, I made my mind up, even though the Bible didn't talk about lucky strikes or camels or anything. I knew it wasn't a lucky strike for me. So right away I got to thinking, well, maybe God doesn't like cigarettes. Because it's bad for your health, for one thing. I didn't have a conviction from God not to smoke. But I'll tell you, when I tried to put that cigarette off, oh my gosh, my body fought that sucker. Like, I don't know how many packs I threw. I'd never do that today. Cigarettes are $10 a pack now. Back then they were 55 cents a pack. And I'd throw that sucker out of the door. If I even seen an unbeliever throw a pack of cigarettes away, I'd say, you're crazy. Go back and get that pack. At $10. At least turn it back into the store for money. But that cigarette got 20 feet tall. It got so big I couldn't hardly carry it. But I thank God I abandoned myself to the Lord. And He took it. Supernaturally. Praise God. But I had to make my mind up. I was going to serve God in spite of the cigarette butt. Well, we won't get into that story. Elements. One represents the body of Christ, which is the bread. And one represents the shed blood of Christ. And before we take it, I want to explain something. The translators said that His body was broken. But actually, His body was not broken. Not one bone was broken. He remained intact. It symbolizes that God does not want the body of Christ broken up. The body of Christ is not in division. I wish you all could have heard what Dino was saying today about the operation of Satan in dividing. That's what he does. But God used the communion element as a symbol that He does not want the body of Christ divided against itself. He hates it. That's why one of the sins is spreading discord among the brethren, that He hates it. Because it's so much contrary to God. And so when you take this bread today, do it in a symbol. If there's anything in your heart that divides you from anybody, please leave it with the understanding of the remembrance of Christ, giving His life for them and for you. So take a moment and just ponder. Is there anything that I'm doing that would divide me from the body of Christ? Go ahead and take, eat. And the shed blood in remembrance of Him is what brought you life. It's what brought you life. It's the cleansing agent. Go ahead and drink. Okay, ushers. Yes, Spirit. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes. Be careful what you feed your mind. Be careful what you feed your mind. Being a believer is serious business. It has something to do with eternity. Serious. Baroshe ke latrum. Everybody stand up again. Just waiting on the Spirit here for just for a second. Barakula Krishna Barakde. Detashinata Korapyalaram. Yes, Lord. The Spirit is going to take this body into great depths, to where the power of God will flow from the presence of Him. I'm sensing it more and more in my spirit. God is going to release Himself in many of the hearts of the people here. He's going to release that. Not just knowledge, but the power. But in order for Him to do that, there has to be a willingness of heart to pray and seek God. I often wondered about that young man that I went to speak at a youth conference. And we were talking about praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And this one young man kept following me and Dave from place to place. He always followed our ministry. Never really got to know him very much. I even forgot his name. But I'll never forget this conference that we were at. I was walking along in front of these places where they had them all sleep in beds there in Oregon and these little cabins. And I was walking along and I heard some voices, or I thought was voices. And I stopped and I went back to where I could hear the voice. And I looked between these buildings and I saw this young man. And he was praying in tongues fervently. You could feel the presence of God all over that place. And so I started walking towards him, and when I got close to him, I almost fell on my face. The presence of God was so strong. And I leaned against that building and I just began to weep. And I said, God, we need more young people like this, dedicated to You. I don't know what happened to him, but the last I heard, he started moving in the power of God. It was very unique. And I often thought back, I wonder whatever happened to that young man. But boy, he had a drive in him that was incredible. I'd like to see that again today with young people. I'd like to see a charge in them to go after everything that God has got to offer, even in the power. I'm so charged up for the power of God. I'm consumed with it. But boy, I'll tell you, all hell is broke loose. You can tell when you're on the right track. Seems like all hell breaks loose around you. But I'll tell you, people, go after the power of God. Not just knowledge, but go after that power. And one way is praying in other tongues. When God shows me the fullness of the book of Jude, I'm going to share it with you. I'm starting to see some things I'd never seen out of that little book, chapter only. But it's powerful. But pray in the Holy Ghost. Build yourself up on your most holy faith. Father, I commit these people to You this morning. If there's anybody here that would like to give their heart and life to Jesus, may they come forward and do that, Father. And may they become a powerhouse for You in Jesus' name. We open it up now for anybody that wants to give their heart and life to Jesus. There ain't nothing worth living out of the natural. And if you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to come forward and get that baptism. Because that's the first indication you're willing to let Him be your teacher. And if you have an illness or a sickness that you want to heal, you come forward and get it from Jesus. He's the healer. With that said and done, anybody wants to respond to that altar call, now's the time to do it. Anybody? I don't know who this is. You don't need to come forward. But the Lord told me that you're really struggling with your thoughts and your mind on some issues to the point where it's got you a little scared. The Lord told me to tell you to quit feeding it. That the information that you feed it is what's causing it to go deeper and deeper. Cut it off. In Jesus' name, cut it off. It'll consume you. Cut it off. With that said, you're dismissed. God bless you.